You know, I think many people agree or would agree with me that there are a lot of benefits to working with your hands. You get a sense of accomplishment. Sometimes it's even calming. Anyone crafty or handy might be nodding their head in agreement with me right now. Larry Mueller here. Thanks again for joining us on the Ideas Network. Joining us next, we've got two skilled blacksmiths who just happen to be married. Bob Bergman bought the Postville Blacksmith Shop in 1969. He's trained with many notable American smiths and traveled in England as a journeyman. He's involved in all aspects of all business, from sales, designing, estimating prototype work, employee training, forge work. Oh, man. Bob Bergman, welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry. It seems like I'm talking to an old friend. I've listened to you for 40 years.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Nana Showalter, with us as well, I believe.
I am.
Oh, good. Nana's an artist using blacksmith techniques in her work. I've got something up on my online now, taking a look at some of her work. Nana's gardens, boy, some beautiful things there. She teaches forging classes as well. She works out at the Postville Blacksmith Shop. And we're going to talk with them about their careers. I've looked at Bob's website. He's just doing some beautiful things. Questions you might have about blacksmith work. Do you work in a skilled trade that you'd like to talk about? I hope you'll join in the conversation. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you've got a great photo of something that you've made with your hands you want to share with us. Just put it up at ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. Well, I'd like to hear how you both found your way into blacksmithing, to be perfectly honest. Bob, why don't you start?
I had always been mechanically inclined as a kid, taking things apart, working on bikes, go-karts. It was in the 50s when, in early 60s, when I got my driver's license. I bought an old car from a junkyard and fixed it up. So I'd always worked with my hands, had a summer job as a carpenter's apprentice. And then I graduated high school, went to college, and had no intention of skilled trade work, but I tried an office job. And that tie and jacket just absolutely strangled me to death. And being inside and sitting down all day was not what I wanted. And luckily, I found a job working on a feature film that kind of gave me a taste of doing something that I was more passionate about. And at that time, it was the summer of 68. I was living in New York City. After Martin Luther King was assassinated, the city was on fire. And it seemed like a good time to head out of town and become a back-to-the-lander homesteader. I had gone to UW and found a little piece of property outside of Blanchardville. That time there was something called the Whole Earth Catalog, which aided homesteaders with information, tools, and suppliers. There was a book in there called The Art of Blacksmithing. And basically, I had that book in one hand and a hammer in another. I skipped one part in finding my little farmette. The realtor took me through this town of Postville, which was just a dried up dot on the road. And there was an abandoned, what appeared to be abandoned blacksmith shop that after I peered through the windows, I saw it had a lot of woodworking equipment. He had fixed wagons and done general farm repair. I contacted the man, rented the shop for 6 months, and then he sold it to me. And he gave me one lesson, 1 hour lesson. He was about 80 years old and was kind of blind from staring into the fire. But then I met a local neighbor who was a farm blacksmith who really kind of taught me the basics. At that time, there was still a remnants of these small self-sufficient farms where everyone had a blacksmith shop. Sears and Roebuck used to sell kits through their catalog, and it had more to do with this horseshoeing. It was just all sorts of straightening, repairing, recycling. And I was lucky to find other mentors. I found somebody who taught me about railing work, stair railing work. I found somebody who taught me about industrial, commercial forge work. I found somebody who taught me about more artistic, modern styles of work. So I was very lucky to have mentors. So when times were slow, I would visit people. I took classes at folk schools, the John C. Campbell Folk School. UW took a class in jewelry and metalworking from Fred Fenster. So between wherever I traveled, looking in Yellow Pages, trying to find and visit every metal shop I could visit, I had one old teacher who told me that after you learn the basics, you should go on the road as a journeyman and steal with your eyes. He was an old German fellow. Steal with your eyes. And that, what he was trying to say was just look under the bench and ask what that tool was. Look at shop layout. Look at how people dealt with customers. And
wow.
For 20 years, basically, I worked alone and did that. And then things took off. And I started hiring people and training people, and fortunately, I found some really exceptional people. The two skilled tradesmen I have right now, Terry Suthers and Dieter Wiegand, took what I showed them and have become better at the trade than I. So
wow.
It's been a very rewarding, interesting trade. Many, many fabulous characters, both customers and colleagues. And I guess I'm still learning to answer the question.
Well, Nana, what about you?
Well, I learned blacksmithing when I first met Bob. And my history goes back to a few years at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, art school, and I transferred to UW-Madison. And when I was working on my Master of Fine Arts degree, I met Bob, and he mentioned he took a class in metals from Fred Fenster. And Fred asked him to come in and refurbish an old rundown blacksmith shop, which was adjacent to a building where I was taking a foundry class. And I went outside the building after my class, and I heard this ding, 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 ding on the anvil, and I looked in, and there was Bob. And the rest is history. But essentially, I learned basic welding and how to heat metal with a torch through the art department. And that was enough to make, you know, I could weld things together. So it was a limited skill set. And I enhanced that by taking a course in machine shop in welding through the engineering department at UW. And then I met Bob, and he was the first person who showed me that you could actually manipulate steel by heating it and hammering it and shaping it, and that it is a material that well stands on its own, where previously I was using the material as, excuse me, as an armature that I would always cover. So once I started learning how to do the forging, pieces of metal started sticking out of my work, and then eventually it became exclusively steel.
Wow. Well, I'm here to say that you both do some really beautiful things, and I was really struck. Well, in fact, with both of you, but the variety of things that you both produce is absolutely amazing to me. And we'll certainly talk some more about that. I know Barbara is on from Lakemore, Illinois, and Barbara, I hope you can hang on. We'll get to you after we take a look at the news. Our two guests today, Bob Bergman, he owns the Postville Blacksmith Shop. He bought it back in 1969. Nana Showalter, they're married, by the way. She is an artist using blacksmith techniques in her work. We'll talk some more with them. We'll take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we'll be back with Bob and Nana. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We have two great guests on the show today to talk with us about the value of blacksmithing work. Bob Bergman bought the Postville Blacksmith Shop in 1969. He's trained in many notable American smiths, trained with them, traveled to England as a journeyman, involved in all aspects of the blacksmith business, from sales to designing to estimating to prototype work, does employee training and forge work. Nana Showalter is an artist using blacksmith techniques in her work as well. She also teaches intro to forging classes, works out of the Postville Blacksmith Shop. And Nana and Bob are married, I think, as I mentioned. So do you have experience with blacksmith work or another skilled trade? Why is it important to you? I hope you'll join in with your own questions, comments, and experiences. Call it, the call number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email, maybe with a photo, to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Nana and Bob, we've got Barbara from Lakemore, Illinois, who's been online for a bit. Let's go there. Barbara, thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm very anxious to talk to you. I have a family history of blacksmithing. Both my paternal and maternal grandfathers were blacksmiths. Also, my maternal grandfather relinquished that in 1856, he stuck with farming, but my paternal grandfather opened his forge in 1872. He worked there until he passed away. When he passed away, my uncle took over the forge, and when he passed away, his son-in-law took over the location of the forge. Also, it's now an automotive repair shop. After my uncle passed away, the forge was given to our local museum, so you can still see it there.
Oh, so you had a lot of experience with that.
Yes.
Bob and Nana, do you run into people like Barbara very often?
Well, I don't think people today realize how popular or how common a blacksmith shop was. What a gas station is today, a blacksmith shop was. They were that close together and that common. Every little town had at least one blacksmith who repaired tools, whether it was for farmers or for loggers or for fishermen, and repaired wagons. The blacksmith was the original recycler, especially before the railroads came in, when iron, a very heavy commodity, was precious, and was a wagon wheel was cut up and made into horseshoes after it wore out. The horseshoes were made into nails after it wore out. So, yes, I've heard many, many people tell that story, that they had grandparents who were blacksmiths.
Oh, Barbara, thanks for sharing that. You know, you two, I have in my hands a bottle opener that I made last July 27th. In Cambridge, Wisconsin.
Yes, at Firefest.
At Firefest in Cambridge, my daughter and I were there, and I made this bottle of, well, made it is, I worked with a blacksmith.
Okay. That's how you learn.
You know, I had this little, I think it was probably 6-7 inches long, whatever, and rod, that he heated up the one end and gave me a hammer, and I hammered out a little piece flat, and then on the end, and then I turned that over a little bit, and then there were a couple of more bends that were involved, and flattened out, also a flattening out of the other end of the rod. And I've had this little bottle opener, and you know what? It works pretty darn well. But it was a great experience, and there were long lines of people who were interested in trying it out.
Well, unfortunately, Firefest got canceled this year.
Yeah, I know.
But what I think you experience is one of the draws of blacksmithing. You can make a piece in 15 minutes and be done. You don't have to wait for glue to dry, or you don't have to put it in a kiln to bake it. There's an immediacy to it. And then to have a practical object that you made, there's just something alive about it. It brings back those memories every time you touch it or use it. And that's what I think a lot of people are craving. They want something real. They want something with fingerprints on it in this age of plastic. They want something that's going to last and possibly be passed on to somebody else.
Well, I tell you what, it sits on top of my, normally it sits on top of my refrigerator that we affectionately call the beer fridge, although it holds a lot of other things as well. And if I get out a bottle of beer or pop or whatever it might be, I use the opener to open it up. And I think about that every single time. It seems like a different world almost from almost exactly a year ago to today.
Yes.
That is for sure. Well, Michelle sent us a photo. She's a trained gold, and let's see now, I've screwed up my photo that I've got. Does this wonderful jewelry, and she's trained gold and silversmith, and she makes art jewelry. She's been working in this field for more than 30 years. She creates, teaches, and advocates for the profession. And wanted to thank you guys for being on the show with us today, because she really is enjoying it. And boy, she's done some beautiful pieces. Nana, do you make, you don't make jewelry per se, do you? Or do you?
No, I don't. And it's interesting. I have made a few smaller pieces, and that seems to have put me in a niche for people who recognize me for making that. But actually, I prefer to say I make garden jewelry. So I make sculpture for the garden, more like something 6 feet tall, but not necessarily jewelry. Some of the pieces that I have my students make are small, and people can understand the basic moves to blacksmithing and then make a smaller object. So that would be the closest reference to jewelry.
Yeah, but your work is really in the out of doors. Oh my goodness me! Looking at some of the pieces, describe the kind of pieces that you make. You said some of them get pretty big. I saw some that were long and almost looked like waves in a field.
Yeah. Well, I try to make pieces that are easy to transport, and so I make them in a modular way that they can connect together and come apart easily and hopefully fit in the back of anyone's car for transport. But they do range in height from 4 to 6 to as much as 9 feet. I did one this spring that's 9 feet tall, and that the size of the piece doesn't necessarily mean that it's complicated or overly heavy. Like I said, I try and make the pieces so they're able to be moved.
Yeah, they're really beautiful. How do people see those, by the way? Tell our listeners how they can view some of your work.
Sure. My website has a good collection. There are several portfolios there. It's nanashowalter.com. And I can be contacted through the website as well. I've been doing garden sculpture for about 30 years, so there are a lot of people in the Madison area who have been wonderfully supportive of my work. I'd like to thank them for that. And I do take orders for commission work. If you see something on the website you're interested in, or a variation of it, or would like something more personalized, I'd be happy to work with you.
Yeah. We had a caller who couldn't stay online, but he was wondering a bit more. Are there still places where the community or town relies on the blacksmith to be kind of the repair person for things like farm implements, like it was in the past? Or is a blacksmith work more decorative at this point?
Well, the Postville shop, for years, if I went out on a trip somewhere, all my neighbors used to say, "When are you coming back?" No, we do a lot of repair work, and I think the neighbors are very grateful to have us there. There's four basic ways to shape metal. One is casting, where you make a liquid and pour it in a mold. Another is fabricating, where you weld pieces together and additively create something. There is machining, where you take a chunk of metal and carve little chips away from it, and what remains is your object that you're making. And there's forge work, which is taking iron just like a piece of clay by heating it and squeezing it and hammering it and twisting it. You form what you want. Our shop does fabrication, machining, and forge work. And there's a lot of times we can competitively repair of an agricultural product or even parts for cars, trucks, trailers, with the tools and equipment we have, where they can get a quick turnaround, get back at work in short order. So, yes, there is definitely still a place for a repair shop, a metal repair shop.
And it was interesting to me as I was looking at your site of your work. You have, things can be pretty ornate, or they can be sort of almost a classic modern style, as I was looking at some of the stair casings and so forth in homes. You have some beautiful work in homes.
That's right. And the right work ranges from when we're working with architects who have designs that we assist their creation, maybe make some suggestions on process, to Mrs. Olson's two-step portrayal in Blanchardville, which is just a practical, functional item that Mrs. Olson wanted because her elderly friends couldn't come and visit anymore because the stair was a little irregular. And I feel just as good leaving a house project for Mrs. Olson where she gives me a cookie and a cup of coffee as working on multi-million dollar mega homes where sometimes I never get to meet the customer at all.
Oh, man. Well, talk a little bit, maybe Nana, you could talk about this. What projects are you working on now to give our listeners some ideas?
I work throughout the year. It's kind of a cyclical process. So that late winter and early spring, I start working on pieces for the coming season. So that's what I did this year and built up a lot of inventory, and then COVID hit. So
yeah.
I've changed everything. I do have a lot of inventory in stock now. But generally speaking, I'll do that. I'll come up with new pieces, new designs. I'll make a few of the greatest hits and bestsellers, so I've got them in stock for people. And then I take in any commission work that comes along, special requests for certain projects. And that's generally how my year works.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, COVID had to put quite a crimp in it. Well, in everybody's life, I guess, including the kind of work that you do as well. Glenn,
I try to be optimistic, Larry, in that I think that when this passes and things calm down, people will be more than ready for joyful sculptures in their garden.
I think you're right about that. Well, Glenn in Montana, it's your turn. Hi, Glenn. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just say hi to Bob and Nana, old friends of mine from many years ago. We blacksmithed for years and years. And I'm really enjoying the show and listening to them and listening to their story. And I just wanted to thank you for putting them on.
Oh, well, Glenn
and I went to Blacksmith High together, which is a place in Brasstown, North Carolina, called the John C. Campbell Folk School. which had been founded to train mountain people to do craft work to sustain themselves and add to their income. And somehow or another, this place survived into the 60s and 70s. And Glenn and I both had a mentor, a man named Francis Whitaker, who had survived the downturn of the trade in the 40s and took it as his mission to pass on what he learned, and was sort of the master class teacher at the John C. Campbell Folk School. And I met a lot of people there that have continued on in the trade, and we've become colleagues. We work together. We assist each other. Sometimes you get a job that's too big to handle in the time frame that is demanded, and you work with your colleagues and make parts and ship them across country to their shops where they're assembled and then installed. And that was part of what I was saying, that I met a lot of interesting characters in this trade, and Glenn is definitely one of them.
Oh, well, Glenn, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, man. Well, it's nice to hear from old friends, I'm sure of that. How has choosing this career, maybe I'll ask this of both of you, you didn't grow up thinking you were going to do this, so how has choosing this career field impacted your life?
Well, I have not had to worry about getting fired or losing my job for 52 years, being self-employed. There were certainly challenging times in that time. I've been through two or three downturns and recessions, but have had the chance to make changes in what we do and hang in there. And that's kind of nice. I know my job is not going to be offshored. I was going to mention that the people are considering a trade. If you're a plumber or electrician, you don't have to worry about that job going to China when you're, especially in the home building world. It's been mentally and physically challenging and interesting. I think there's a lot more math and geometry involved in what we do than what a lot of people would think. And it's just very satisfying to drive past a house that I put a railing up on 20, 30 years ago, see it's still there, that it was a quality product that might last 50 years. There's just something very satisfying about it. And also having a project at a scale that you come to the end of it. I know there's a lot of people, as soon as what their daily chore is over, there's a new pile of paper on their desk or in their, you know, files on their computer that needs more and more. Then they never really come to the end. There's something very satisfying about starting a project, meeting the client, discussing the project, making the project, installing it, and coming to the end and turning on and looking over your shoulder and saying, that really looks nice. And the customer saying, that really looks nice. Or the other tradesman saying, that looks like it's been there all, you know, for 50 years. There's something just very satisfying about that.
Yeah, and I think this whole business, you sort of touched on us, working with our hands is something more of us might want to consider when it comes time for a career?
Definitely. Definitely. I see a lot of kids who come from when we open the shop up for a school tour or something. You can pick them out immediately. The ones that they just have their eyes wide open. They're really interested. And you can picture them back at school kind of slouching in their desk, bored to death. That there's just, for some people, they want a more physical existence.
Well, I think you may well be right about that. What do you recommend, maybe, when it comes to someone who might be considering blacksmith work or another trade?
I would definitely start by learning how to weld. To get a feel of metalworking, it's a skill that is marketable. It's something that you can take as a vocation or use as an avocation. And from there, if you like welding, which it's very uncommon in this day and age to have a full-fledged forge work job. There's a saying in blacksmith work, aus einem Stück geschmieden, which means make it out of one piece.
And in traditional blacksmith work, you rivet, you collar, you put things together in a without welding, and you let the technique show and become part of the ornamentation. And when people run their hands down the handrail, they can feel the little bumps of the rivets and the texture of where you've knocked the corners off the rectangular stock with a hammer. They just relate to it so much more, but it's time consuming. So most work is a combination of fabricating and forge work, according to the budget, according to the site. So I would definitely say welding is a viable trade. That you see ads all over the place looking for welders, will train. So definitely start there. Next thing is look online. YouTube is a tremendous source of information with blacksmithing techniques. There's a man named Mark Asbury, who is just a fabulous teacher. There's a guy named Tobar Amon in Sweden, who's extremely creative and does some beautiful videos. It might be of interest to people to see industrial work, the mammoth work for mines and government work, shipyard work. There's a place called Scott Forge, which is usually looking for employees down on the state line, which does tremendous volume of work and is probably doing 25% of the industrial forge work in the country.
Oh, man.
So there, it's a viable trade. You know, it's hot, it's dirty, it's noisy. It's not for everyone, but for a lot of people like yourself, I could just picture you there, Larry, where that first couple of hits and that piece of metal moves. It's exciting.
It is indeed. Well, Bob and Anna, thank you so much. Here we are out of time. I really appreciate you being with us today. We've posted up in our program notes information on your website. So go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry, and we'll have more information on that. Bob Bergman, Nana Showalter from the Postville Blacksmith Shop. It's great to have them with us. And great to have you listening in as well. Thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.